to the podcast, the Debrief Podcast, with me, Tessa.
And me, Brian.
Stevie's gone. Brian's in. It's so. Brian now.
Brian is hella boring.
And we will not apologise.
No, it is Stevie. It's surprise.
Bloody hell. It's like Ashton Kutcher's punked in here.
Ashton Kutcher's punked?
Punked.
Punked. Half and conscious punk.
You got punked. Okay.
I would watch that show.
Just like people doing like very, very weak pranks.
Really?
And then someone comes at the end and says, punked.
It's not even Ashton Kutcher.
No, it could be anyone.
So today's podcast is, we just thought we'd pick a really like low level, chilled, small topic. How to figure out what to do with the rest of your life.
No, give it more panache.
How to figure out what to do with your life.
Yes.
Because actually that's the thing that is driving us all
Isn't
the time.
It? Isn't it just?
Even if we're not consciously thinking about it, we are subconsciously thinking about it. You know, that and our own mortality.
Mm. Death and the concept of eternity. No, of course, we all think about it all the time.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
That's
you should think about it in your own time.
Yeah, and that's our advice. We've got some lovely experts who have weighed in on ways that you can help guide your life, I suppose. Or also, like, I've always known what I want to do with my life, but it turns out that I didn't. And so I like spent a lot of time doing one thing and then was like, oh, actually, I want to completely change what I want to do. And that's okay.
And also, I think probably that will change again.
I hope it does, because that'll be interesting. But I was very stressed about it at the time and very like, oh, well, I guess. And I think people just pick something sometimes that they want, that they say they in an inverted commas, want to do because they're panicking because they're like, well, I need to know it now.
Or you did love it. Like it was the thing you wanted to do. And then after a while, it wasn't as joyful anymore and to do.
Because you've changed as a person. As Pocahontas said, should I take the smoothest course, steady as the beating drum? Should I marry Cocoum? Is all my dreaming at an end? Or do you still wait for me, dream giver, just around the river bend?
What is the options? Shall I take the smoothest course? Or...
Yeah, as in like a very smooth course.
No,
like,
what's the is there?
Or do you still wait for me, dream giver? Looking at the river that looks quite scary.
Oh, right, okay.
And
dream giver.
Yeah, dream giver. You're basically constantly Pocahontas and we're constantly at crossroads even when we don't realise
like,
it.
Oh, that's nice and smooth down there.
Yeah. And that's not. And even if we don't
that
know
we
are.
That has the potential of being exciting, but also the potential of being awful.
Yeah. And a lot of us don't even
high
know.
Risk, high yield down that river route.
And now I'm going to ask Tessa a question that's on everyone's lips. Tessa, what adult thing have you done this week?
I cut my own hair.
Right. Well, I didn't notice that. So.
No good.
Okay.
Well, that's absolutely ideal, isn't it?
Okay.
If you'd said, uh-oh, what's happened to your hair?
But isn't the ideal me going, wow, look at your hair. Did
no,
Tony
no,
and
no,
Guy
no.
do that?
Tony and or Guy?
Yes.
No, the ideal is you didn't even notice.
Okay.
The hair didn't draw any attention. It's not done anything fabulous. I just like, all the ends were like so split.
Right.
And yeah. I just did it myself.
I think you always look fabulous.
Oh, thank you so much.
Especially now.
I did it straight and then it looked like a paintbrush.
Okay.
It just looked like I was wearing a wig. It looked completely straight.
I wish you'd sent me a picture.
No.
Like that time you bought a fringe.
No. Anyway, it was completely straight across and it looked like a wig. And I was like, this is ridiculous. Then I did like a chopping. I made it less blunt. I just like chopped
upwards
through it a little bit.
Like you see the hairdressers doing.
Like you see the hairdressers doing. I was like, yeah, I think I got this.
Yes.
And it doesn't look bad, does
no,
it?
No, it doesn't look bad at all.
You wouldn't even notice. What have you done that's adult, Stevie?
Well, that's nice, actually, because my adult thing is also hair-based.
Oh, great.
I haven't done it. I'm going to do it.
Thought about it.
I always, like, dye my hair myself. Or, like, I refuse to go to hairdressers, basically. I just don't. And last year, I did go to a proper hairdresser's and I was like drenched in sweat the whole time because I've just was terrified about how much it was going to be and not liking it. And anyway, it turned out absolutely fine. Hair looked nice, was really into it. But that was a year ago and I've not gone back since then. And since then I've cut my fringe twice, cut my hair twice, and people have said, right, we've done that yourself, haven't you? And I've been resisting booking a hair appointment, being like, oh, what I'll do is I'll just wait until I'm really quite drunk and then I'll just cut it myself. And I don't think that's like a way forward. So what I've done is I've now booked the same people because I know they're good. So I'm not just being like, I'll get a cheaper one. I'm booking an expensive haircut.
Great.
I think your hair you wear every day, except when you're wearing a baseball cap like I'm today. And you should put money into it. Maybe sometimes, maybe once a year I'll do that. So I'm going for my yearly haircut.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's quite
adult. I support you wholeheartedly.
Thank you. I think being an adult is just about figuring out what things do require money and what things that you don't need to spend money on, like eyeliner pencil, just buy a crap one. That's fine. You know, that sort of thing. So we're going to kick off with some sort of expert advice.
Yes.
And then we can just talk it through, let it percolate, see how it makes us feel as women and humans, humes. Mm. So the first person I spoke to is a business coach called Lydia Amoa, and she helps female entrepreneurs promote their businesses on and offline. She's on Twitter as @CoachLids, and her website is coachlids.com. She's very, very cool, award-winning woman.
She sounds it.
Motivational speaker as well. So her three tips for someone who is trying to figure out like what they want from their life in terms of a career is, number one, is to recognise that you're at the beginning of the journey, so you need to take that pressure off and don't behave like you're supposed to know everything, or indeed anything. So that means like asking questions all the time, being willing to kind of start at the bottom, looking back at the things that you were interested in at school or at sixth form, and kind of trying to, like, basically just... It's like a level of perspective, this one, rather than being practical. Don't beat yourself up. It doesn't matter how old you are. You don't need to know what you want to do yet. My mum changed career at 40 and went to uni.
Yes.
Number two is to stop comparing yourself to other people, which I find the most hard thing because of like Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. So there are ways in which you can limit your usage for that. I'd say get rid of push notifications on Facebook and Instagram. So if you're constantly opening up Facebook and there's like your best friend who's just doing so well and one of those people that kind of posts about how well she's doing all the time, A, I don't like people that do that. I think it's a little bit braggy. B, you don't have to not be her friend, but it's actually good for your mental health to maybe not see that every single time you open your phone or computer.
Yes.
So consider unfollowing. Like, I did this thing that was revolutionary with Instagram, where I suddenly realized I was following lots of people who were like very thin, beautiful girls on beaches who had lots of money going on press trips. And I was like, I have no money and I just ate a pie. And I was constantly starting to realize that I felt really bad about myself and also where I was in my career. So I got rid of all of them, because on Instagram, I can't really tell if you follow them or you don't. Got rid of all of them and replaced them with meme accounts and pictures of fun dogs, and now Instagram and my friends, and now Instagram is like my favorite thing.
Yes.
Third rule kind of feeds into that first one about realizing that you're at the beginning of your career. Get yourself a mentor. Now, you don't have to get yourself like an official mentor. It's just somebody who is maybe further along the line than you are, not necessarily in a career, because you don't know which career you want, but someone who is maybe a little bit older, who has just like been through some interesting stuff that you can get advice from and feel reassured by. And maybe it's just nice to know that it's going to be okay. And that person as well can maybe be helpful in terms of a career. That's a bonus. And if you're struggling with a couple of career ideas, like, you know, maybe you want to go into the arts, maybe you, but also you kind of really like PR and you really like marketing, and you really, like, maybe meet up with people, find people who are doing that, meet up with them, and then you will find someone who inspires you to go into that. Yeah, so I thought they were some really nice tips. You struggled with what you want to do with your life, haven't you, Tessa?
Oh my goodness, of course. Yes, I remember being so jealous of people at school who wanted to be doctors because they like had a plan.
So simple.
So not that, yeah, obviously extremely hard work, and they do life-changing work, but like they had a plan. And even then, like picking your GCSEs, like picking your A-levels, you knew what you were doing because you had everything laid out for you. And I remember being so jealous of that. And I didn't know what I wanted to do for years and years and years. And I was a real mess.
You're the most qualified person I know. You've qualified in so many different careers.
No.
Journalism, teacher.
Yeah. No, another.
School of life.
Yes. It did take me a long time, and I remember going just through a real phase where I was like, I just don't know what it is, and maybe there's nothing for me, and maybe I'm not good at anything.
That's the bad thing. If you don't know what it is, your sad human brain doesn't go, oh, I'm just working it out. It goes, there's nothing for me.
Yeah,
like,
it's
you're
nothing.
Wrong.
Yeah, it's very sad. And I remember just like really clinging on to people doing anything and being like, what do you do? Like, what, you know, no interest whatsoever in like working myself up from the ground up.
Yeah, which is very tricky because that's kind of how
yeah,
it
but
happens.
I remember like not thinking like, I guess if you really cared passionately, then that doesn't bother you. Each stage feels exciting and good. And I was like, I haven't found anything yet where anything feels exciting and good.
Yeah.
Like, and I used to, when I first graduated, I didn't have any job. I was in a hole. Like, I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't have a job and I was living at home and like, there was just no, in my head, I was like, well, we graduate, then I'll have a fun summer. Then September 1st, I'll be in my first job. Mm. Probably living in a house I own, you know.
And you don't actually think about what that job is.
No, it was just like, you know, I don't know, just like a cool, successful job.
Yeah.
And of course, there aren't any jobs. So you couldn't even get just any old job. There was nothing. You couldn't get on a graduate scheme. You couldn't, there was just, everything was flooded. You got these endless, like, due to the volume of applicants, we can't apply, feedback, hopeless. And then I went and worked for this film company. I remember everyone in the office being like so sad. And I was like, well, I guess this is what it is to be a grown up. Like, I guess
just
everyone's
sad.
Just sad all the time. I guess I've had all the fun in my life.
Yeah.
But really, they were just sad, horrible people in Shoreditch who were in the wrong job.
Yeah.
And none of them liked what they were doing.
Well, a lot of people are in the wrong job, or a lot of people.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of what, because I was a journalist. Well, I still am, but I was a job journalist with a job. And the people I worked with in all my jobs were lovely. But the office vibe and the kind of drudgery of it all was sad. And actually, I was like, well, if I liked this, I wouldn't be sad. You shouldn't feel bad that you don't know what you want to do, because a lot of people actually are in jobs and look like they know what they want to do because they're doing it, but they actually didn't want to do that.
No, a lot of people have fallen into something. And actually, I think our group, maybe, and I'm not, you know, however old you are listening, you're probably in the same group-ish if you came out of school or out of university into a thing where they're just, the job market was quite flooded, is that you couldn't just go straight into a job and there was like, oh, well, I'm stable here and I've got some money and why would I leave? You had to do a bit of struggling and a bit of work experience and a bit of interning and staying, you know, you had to do stuff for free for a while.
Yeah.
And therefore you hopefully found something that you cared a bit more about. Imagine a time 50 years ago when you just went and worked in the same factory as your dad for 50 years.
But they were often happy because they didn't have this...
The choice.
Choice of like, you can do anything. So obviously you're going to gravitate towards the jobs like film. So many people ask me because I once was a film reviewer for City AM, which I mentioned last week and on the podcast. And... saying like, how do I do that? And it's like, oh, I stopped because nobody was paying me. And I couldn't live off free sandwiches anymore. Actually, there are very few jobs in that sector. But when you're told you can do anything, it's like, okay, well, I'll be a... And it's always something very difficult. No one ever goes, oh, I want to be like really high up in marketing. But actually, that's a really fun job. But when you're younger, you don't know that's a job. So you're just like, oh, I guess, you know, I'll reach for the stars.
And there's so many... The choice is completely overwhelming. And you have this horrible feeling like you've got to choose now. Basically, this is how I feel every time that like the tube is shut and everyone is like waiting at the top of the stairs debating like whether they should get the tube or just cut their losses and start walking or get the bus.
Mm.
And I think this is what all any transport, you've probably been in London and been in that situation, or any kind of transport crisis on the trains where everyone's like, what's going on? What should we do? And some people are like...
Or a traffic jam? Does it still...
No, not a traffic jam, because then there's not many options. Oh yeah, so a traffic jam where you're like, should we take the slip road or should we stay?
Yes.
That anytime there's a debate with a very small window of time, that choice is in your hands and the stress of it is so great.
Yes, if you make the wrong decision, you're going
to
ruin
your own decision, you'll beat yourself up because the choice was offered to you. The choice of it, and I think that is new to our generation.
We've both been in jobs where we've been like, oh no, and make another choice. Like your whole life is a series of choices and reassessing.
Yeah, and it takes much longer than you think. You always feel it's like quick, choose it now. But it's like it takes ages, and you got loads of time. Do whatever you fancy.
Definitely. On that note, I asked some people, just normal people like you and me, to give me some advice. And all these people are sort of late 20s, 30. In your 20s, you're really being tossed around, being like, "What? Is it this? Why don't I know?" That's the most kind of intense, I think, it's going to be.
Yeah.
Because as you get older, you start to realise how life works and that the world of work isn't what you thought it was. It isn't as black and white. Connie Yates says,
Hello, Connie.
She says, never try and work out what you're going to do or be. If you try and fit yourself into a category before you've finished forming as a person, you're going to be doing yourself a massive disservice.
Ooh, lovely.
She said, I've made decisions in my 30s that teenage or 20s me would not understand. And then Dan March adds, discover your passion by trying everything, not being afraid to fail in the trying.
Yes, which, so good.
It's so good. And then he also says, oh, and read some biographies and of just successful people you admire, because that can give you like good hints and tips.
Yes.
And India Rackerson says, what you want to do and how you want to feel are two very different things. And I think we get bogged down in what's going to look best or make us look amazing, but we don't stop and go, well, what's going to make me happy? Mm-hmm. And I think that's true as well. And there's also a YouTube video that Johnny Collisell posted, which is called What If Money Was No Object by Alan Watts. And if you watch that speech, that's really good, because I think as well you've got so many things. You're like, well, I want money and I want stability, and but I also want a job that's got variety, and I also want to be creative. A lady called Caroline O'Donoghue said, don't follow your dreams, follow your curiosity.
Oh,
and
so good.
And I think that leads into kind of a girl called Kate Hunter messaging. So she said, since graduating, she has 6 full-time jobs, 3 freelance or part-time jobs, lived in 3 different cities, moved house countless times, and it used to worry her so much that everyone else seemed to know what they were going to do and that she didn't. And she kept asking advice from sensible people who were being like, don't panic, but she found it really difficult to not panic. And then suddenly she realised she needed to stop worrying and start concentrating on now, and the fact that actually, if she looks back on her life, she's going to look back on her life and say things like, I've had these 6 jobs in all these different careers. I've lived in these cities. I've done all these different things. And that actually makes up just as much a very rich life as someone who has stayed in the same career for their whole adulthood.
I think on like a practical level, just take anything.
Yes.
Take any job right now. Hopefully it'll pay you. Doesn't matter if it doesn't. Take something that sounds interesting. Don't then put yourself in your head of being like, I don't want to be doing this in 10 years. Like, you won't. You probably won't be doing it in a week.
Yeah.
Just saddle up for this internship or this work experience.
Yeah.
Stay there for a couple of months.
Yeah.
See what it's like.
I remember when I was younger, there was a lot of talk around, but how will I move into that if I've already, what if I get stuck into it?
And you won't get stuck.
That doesn't really exist. You can move.
Don't panic about that. So literally just take any job, which is what my mum used to say to me, and I would be like, nah! And she'd be like, just go and work in the bakers.
They all open doors. So let's say you really don't want to be a baker. Sure, the door that is opening is quite a small one, but you will be getting paid in the bakers.
That right, and out of
which
the house.
Time is money, which gives you a little bit more time to kind of consider what you actually want to do. And you basically just go up and up and up, and always move forward. Take the next door that opens, take the next thing, even if that's a bigger baker's.
Yes.
Moving to getting a job in the bakers in a city so you can live in the city and be close to where the action
exactly.
is.
But I think you have to accept that you've only got a very little piece of the map.
Yeah.
And that is quite a hard thing once you've been through the education system for 18 years where you had the whole map out in front of you.
Yes, being told exactly what to do.
You were told, constantly shown every single piece of the map, and then you get to a point where there's no map whatsoever and you have to just have your tiny bit of it and be like, okay, not to worry that I don't know where I'm going to be in 5 years or 1 year or 6 months.
Yeah.
Where am I going to be this week? What do I think is interesting? What do I think is fun? Follow that curiosity, I'll go and do that.
Yeah, we'll just talk practical, because that's kind of what you want to know at that point. You want to know, what can I do?
Take your blanket of security that says, like, gonna be okay, and you will find it. And then here are the practical bits.
In terms of doing lots of jobs and jobs that maybe you don't like or you're not sure about or whatever. So Sam Gray messaged in and said, you know, he's done jobs for years that he hasn't liked. But when he finally found out what he wanted to do, it was because he was talking to a lot of people and trying to find out what he liked and what he was good at.
Mm.
And eventually someone told someone else about what he was good at, and he was like, oh yeah, I am good at that. He couldn't see the wood for the trees.
Yeah.
So like when I was younger, I became a journalist because everyone told me I was good at writing.
Yes.
Everyone was like, you're good at writing. So I was like, well, I'll do that, then that's a job. But actually, it turns out writing can be lots of different things, and now I've found that maybe I also like performing, and maybe I also like talking in your ears. Hello everyone. But there's lots of different things
that's my
that
favorite
I
too.
Yeah. And I think you won't know what you're good at as well. You might be looking at your exam results, you might be looking at it and be like, oh god, I'm crap at everything. And you're not. There'll be something that you've been doing extra extracurricular wise, maybe just a bit in a lesson, maybe a bit at uni, and you'll realise at some point that actually that was the thing that you wanted to do all along, and you have been doing it. You just haven't noticed
because it's fun. So you don't imagine it to be a chore or a difficult thing. It's something you naturally like to do.
Yeah,
and open yourself up to people around you telling you, oh, that you love to draw, or you love to do this, or you're so organised, or something that is not a tricky thing for you.
If you find that, like, you just do stuff for fun by yourself, my thing was when I was little, I used to, like, cut up magazines, my mum's magazines, and make other magazines. That might be something that you've been doing since you're a kid that's not obvious, otherwise you would know. But that maybe is the key to maybe not doing exactly that, but it gives you a little example of what you might enjoy doing as a job, you know? Claudia Conway, a regular listener, and she says, look at what your role is in your friendship group. Are you the organiser? Are you the one who makes everyone laugh? Are you kind of someone who really, like, observes? Basically, from that little very broad starting point, you can start to work out maybe what your skill set is. Because you're naturally doing that on a social level anyway.
Yes, great.
That's quite a cool way to approach it.
So now it's time for our productivity hack, brought to you by our excellent friends at Red Bull, who have tons of advice online.
So if you Google Red Bull productivity to get tips on how to turn your everyday from like, ah, to, oh, I'm so productive right now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So today it's hacks to make you a better worker, which is actually something I really need.
I think everyone could do with tweaking their work routine.
Tip number one.
Oh, I love it because it's all about emails. So Nick Pidgeon, a positive psychologist, yes, please, and global success coach, wonderful, advised us to do one of three things. This is when you look at your emails and you go, am I going to deal with it? Am I going to delegate it? Or am I going to delete it?
So powerful.
Mm. You don't just open it and read it and then say the answer out loud, which is what I do.
You do it,
I do it all the time. Someone's like, can you do this? And I say, yes, to my phone. And then obviously that's the end of that, because you will forget. So every time we have one, am I going to deal with it, delete it, or delegate? Tip number two
is focus on three projects at a time. So you always prioritise your top three things and focus on them first. Rather than looking at your to-do list, which has got 25 things on it, freaking out and like doing the one that you know is the kind of least important, but it's the easiest. So this kind of allows you to, you go, okay, time management, which is the one that needs to be done now, if I'm honest with myself, even if I don't want to do it. And you allocate time for each task, set reminders on your phone to keep you on track. So sort of like in exams when you had those like questions and you're like, okay, I've got three questions and I've got 3 hours to do them. So I should have finished this first question by 1 p.m. and then I should have finished the second one by 2 p.m. So that,
don't spend
so do that.
All your time on the multiple choice that is worth 4 points and forget the extended essay for 35 points.
Perfect. Yes.
So big thanks to Red Bull for those fabulously top tips, and check out the site for even more great advice.
And next week's podcast will be actually hosted at the actual Red Bull Studios.
Ooh.
Where we'll be recording the podcast live in front of an audience, and the whole thing will be streamed on Facebook Live on the Debrief Facebook page.
If anything, I'm too nervous.
I'm really nervous. Like, what am I going to wear? A ball gown. I'm going to wear a ball gown, and Tess is going to wear a wedding dress. So make sure that you tune in at 6 p.m. next Monday, 11th of September, to see our faces do a podcast.
And the topic of the podcast is going to be about how to be more productive, which we can all do with learning more about, especially me.
And me. So please join us. And thank you very much, Red Bull. Now let's go back to our figuring out what to do with your life tip. I got a lovely message from the author Natla Seema. She does book readings for teenagers at the moment. And she said she always tells them that failure is important. But then she says talent gets nowhere without persistence. So the word talent kind of separates people into, well, you're special and not special. So then if you feel like you don't have a talent, you're like, well, I'm ordinary. I'm one of the ordinary people. But actually, the people who you think are talented have worked incredibly hard. And that's like a very nice thing to be like, cool, okay, I can get there too. Once you've figured out what that is, you can get there, just like everyone else, which I think is very, very nice.
Yes, I think it's that quote they always sort of told you at school, that like success is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration.
Yeah,
and
you just don't listen to it.
You're like, boring. I'm going to play on the adventure playground or wherever you were.
Well, we know where you were.
I'm busy on the swings, excuse me. But I think, and you're like, no, I'm very clever. I won't need that 99%, actually.
Yeah.
I'll just have a brilliant brainwave one day in the bath. Nope, turns out everyone has to do it.
Everyone has to do it. Dominie Heald says something, which we've covered on a previous podcast. I think it was the Fear podcast, but... which is, it sounds obvious, but if there's something that you're obsessed with or you're daydreaming about, even if it doesn't seem like a conventional career, you will really regret it if you don't at least give it a good shot before it's too late. If there is something that you're like, oh yeah, but that's like a pipe dream.
Yeah. Oh, this is my dream, obviously, but that's never going to happen.
So yeah,
like, well,
exactly.
Give it a go.
Exactly.
No, what are you possibly losing out?
So say if you think that you'd really like to go into something like marketing or PR or creating content or something like that, and you might have like obvious ideas of what that job would be. Actually, there's like a billion different jobs and all different sorts of companies that you will never have even heard of, and you won't hear of until you get your foot in the door of somewhere vaguely in that vicinity, which is like, again, going back to the try everything mantra. Like, you might as well try, because even if you don't like that, you will be in some ballpark where you might find something.
Yes, and possibly you're using a certain name to describe what you think the job is. But then actually when you start being there on the ground and you see what everyone's job is, you're like, oh, I thought it was your job, but actually it's your job, which I don't even know the name of.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that was a thing, but it's you that I like.
That's why internships at very big companies are often really good, or work experience placements are often really good, even if you're just like, oh, I don't know, I don't want to work there, but like, I kind of am interested in that sort of thing, because they show you all the different departments, you meet loads of different people who do loads of different jobs, and you can be like, oh my God, I never knew I wanted to do that. And I do. And it's the coolest thing ever. And basically building yourself as many doors as you can so you can start opening them.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, build yourself a door.
Give myself goosebumps. I think I fancy myself. Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Great. I feel like we've gone off on a tangent and I started
it. I'll tell you about Sophie Dahl's autobiography then. Sophie Dahl.
Oh, Roald's daughter.
Old Roald. Our friend Roald. Roald. What are you saying?
I say Roald Dahl.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it out loud. Because
Roald Dahl
famously writes in her autobiography, Come Cookbook, about being like 18 and in this stage of like, what am I doing with my life? And of course, she's in Paris, of course.
Of course.
Of course. And then she has this furious row with her mother, who's like telling her she should, I don't know, inherit the family business of being an architect or an art gallery owner or whatever it is they do, something fabulous. And then they had a furious row on the Dordogne, and then she runs, I think Dordogne's in Germany, and then she runs away, and then she cries in a doorway. And then whose doorway should it be but fashion designer Isabella Blow,
okay,
who comes home and is like, oh, what are you doing crying here? Then takes her upstairs and gives her some tea and says, darling, let's make you a model. You're like, it's an unhelpful story, isn't it?
I mean, everything is clenched with of like disdain.
Like, I have so many questions about the factual truth of that tale.
I just don't
And the chances
happened.
Of you running away and genuinely falling on the doorstep and crying.
Yeah.
Like, if it happened to anyone else, you'd be invited in by a murderer.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The chance of someone being like, I know what, looking one look at you and being like, it's this. You should do this.
It's just...
And everyone hopes that that's going to happen to them. You desperately want someone to fix it for you.
Oh my God.
So badly.
Yes.
If you imagine someone coming up to you and clinging to you and be like, what do I do with my life? You'd like make a guess, but you wouldn't, you wouldn't confidently know for sure.
No. However, it is helpful to not do it in a desperate way. Like Sam said earlier about maybe it is a good idea to ask your friends and ask your family, like, quite openly, just being like, I'm really struggling with like what I want to do. Like, is there anything that you've noticed I'm good at?
Yes.
What would you say that my like qualities are? And that's one of those like really lame things that people say in like lectures about careers. You're like, yeah, of course I'm going to be like, hey, can you please list my top qualities? But you have to say it in that voice. And also, people will help you. Like, I asked my friend what I was good at, and she said writing, and I was like, okay,
there.
Okay, cool. Here I go. Bye.
Yeah.
Moving into that. I spoke to an expert called Lisa Phillips. Hello, Lisa.
Hello, Lisa.
Who is the author of the Confidence Coach book, and her website is amazingcoaching.co.uk. Her tips were basically really practical, and you know, you might. It's one of those things that's very, very simple, but I don't think I did this, and I think it would have been really helpful if I'd have done this. Literally just write a massive list of all of the things that you remember from your childhood, from you remember from school, that you remember liking, that make you feel good, that you enjoy, that you want to do more of. A big bumper thing that when you look at it, you can start to identify patterns. And then if you're reading it back and you're like, I mean, none of that translates into a career, you aren't looking hard enough because you act like if it's like travel or that, there are literally jobs within the travel industry that you could go into that you go, yeah, but not that. And you're like, yes, but gravitate towards it and then you'll find the thing. You don't have to, like we were saying before, you don't have to know it now. Obviously, maybe your dream isn't to be a travel agent when you say travel, but if you did some work as a travel agent, then you may find in that travel sector, oh, actually, but I kind of want to write for this travel magazine because there are so many different
jobs. Or really, it turns out that you were saying travel, but it turned out it was being an air steward. And then you were there for a bit, but it turned out it actually was being a pilot. Like,
planes.
It turns out it's not even being a pilot, it's making the planes.
Yeah.
And you want to be an engineer, and then you want to be an astronaut. You're trying to name it, but you don't have the words for it yet because you need to be in there before.
Because you don't know the words.
You don't know the words yet. You've got to get in there and find the words.
Yeah. I was reminded of something that I think you said to me, Tessa. Probably
very wise.
You said, which was trying to turn that thing we said before about trying not to side glance and compare yourself to friends who are doing better. But if you do get that feeling when you see someone else doing something, that might mean that you want to do that as well, rather than you just being like generally annoyed at how successful they are. And that kind of can feel like a horrible jealous feeling, but you can turn it into a positive and you can actually make it work for you.
Yes.
Your like gut emotions are oddly like the best, a very good barometer of what direction you should be facing in.
Yes, that's so good.
And you don't have to start walking towards it or walking anywhere, but you can just be like, just make a little note in your head like, well, I made a vomit noise when Sharon said she has become a journalist. So I don't know why I use Sharon, I could have used myself. And then just start asking everyone, but in terms of figuring out exactly what it is, you've got to just start narrowing that down.
Yes, absolutely. A final thing for me.
Oh, please.
In the last, however many years, I've had a bunch of different jobs. And in that first year after graduating, I did 6 different internships in 6 different industries, while also doing some absolutely banging face painting on the side.
When I said you were very qualified, and you went, no.
Yeah.
I mean, again, you've just proven that, yes, you've done internships in so many different places.
And then one of the last places I did that for before I started writing for a film website, one of my last internships was in scientific PR. And
I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's in Manchester and I was living in a hostel. And
Where has this come from?
Yeah, I know, right?
Great.
I lived in Manchester. I lived in the hostel, didn't have any friends, went to my scientific PR job every day, being like, who am I? What do I want to do with my life?
God.
And when I left there, they gave me a card, which I think they'd just gone and got the only card in WH Smith in the good luck section.
Mm.
But it happened to be this little sort of cartoon drawing of someone looking at a signpost, and it said it in one way direction and not it in the other. And then the thing underneath just said, go for it! ! And it was the most generic, like, go for it! Like, just good luck in your job card. But it resonated with me so much. It sits on my desk still now.
Aww.
Like, they were really, really lovely though. I had a nice time working there. But it wasn't what I wanted to do. And it really resonated with me because I hadn't found it, but I did know that scientific PR was not it.
Oh, you're crossing things off.
Just
we haven't mentioned that. That's great.
Not it was a huge deal for me. And I remember my mum being like, you know, it felt like we were really getting somewhere because at least we knew it, not it.
Yeah.
And that felt like a huge step forward to be like, we could cross off, we could close some doors. And that almost felt as powerful and as something as much to hold on to as opening doors.
Yeah, because once you open, you have to then start narrowing down.
And it just felt like all that like limitless, infinite choice had started to narrow itself into a tunnel. And that felt amazing.
That is amazing.
Yeah, not it.
You will probably continue to add to that list throughout your life. And isn't that exciting that you can?
I can see it going, not it.
You can look back and be like, oh, I went in scientific PR, I went in this, I did this,
exactly.
And you found out that it's not. And then that will help you on your journey to it. But not the film It.
No,
don't
watch the original, don't watch the remake.
It won't
don't
help it. You with your career.
You are not in a good place. No one is ever in good enough a place to watch It. It's such a scary film.
Dreadful.
Awful film.
Great.
And also I think that thing about It, you maybe never find it. Like, rather than it being like this great nirvana that we're working to.
Of course.
I think it's just like the journey going somewhere in that direction is quite fun.
Yeah.
Like, even, you know, don't...
Well, everyone I know...
There won't be a point where you're like, yes, but and finally I have reached... My career
thing.
Peak, you know.
Well, because humans are not built for that. We are built to keep striving. That is why we are in this mess as humanity. Like, we won't stop. We're always looking for the next thing.
We'll always keep going.
That's why people cheat. That's why people, like, are never happy.
So don't ever think they'll be like, oh, when I've got this, then I will be happy.
Yeah,
when this, then that. It's like, it's never going to happen.
Because I know people who have reached what they want to do. And, of course, they love the high points. But then there are always low points in every single job. So, like, you're not aiming for complete eternal bliss. You're aiming for a job that makes you excited more than it doesn't, and makes you feel like, I want to get up in the morning. Like, actually, I'm kind of looking forward to working on that thing.
Yeah,
that's kind of what you're working towards, rather than like, oh yeah, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Make a list, have a think, spend some time on yourself, look at what you do within your friendship groups. Take that pressure off.
Take the pressure off.
Start saying yes to everything.
Do not expect to find it out. Do not expect to find it immediately.
Yeah.
Or today or in the next couple. And, you know, just all you can do is take one step forward.
Do work experience. And if obviously you can't afford, because I couldn't afford it, get a crappy job in the nighttime and we'll do work experience in the daytime. You'll be knackered, but you'll start crossing things off that list.
Yes, there will be people who don't have to do that. And yes, you'll hate them, but...
I still hate them.
Yep. Absolutely. And that hate is no good to you.
No, it's not.
No, just like...
It's eating me like a canker.
Yeah. just a canker. Just accept that, like, sure, we're all on the escalator, and sometimes it's an escalator and sometimes it's the stairs.
Sometimes it's on fire.
And sometimes people's legs are tied together at the bottom and it's quite hard for them to climb.
Good Lord.
And some people are just like being carried up there by some balloons. But if you just keep putting one foot in front of another... You get up there.
You'll get somewhere. And I can't tell you where, but it'll be somewhere different from where you are now.
Don't get into your head like, oh, I can't do this because everyone else is, you know, it's no good to you. Yes, it's going to be harder. Yes. Saddle up for the journey.
But it's a lot of fun.
It's loads of fun out here. Come on in.
Come on in. Yeah, the water's sort of fine, I think.
The water's not as cold as you imagine if you keep kicking your legs.
That's literally what life is. I think we might have to stop doing the podcast. That's the best metaphor or whatever analogy that any of us have ever done. Goodbye and have a lovely week.
Thank you so much for having us. Tune in next week, if you can, for the live show.
To see our faces.
Giving it a good go.
Can you imagine if we both just turn up in like Halloween masks? If you have any... How to figure out your life tips, tweet us at Stevie M. The S is a 5.
At Tessa Coates, all the letters are letters.
And drop us an email, podcast@thedebrief.co.uk. And by Jove, have a lovely time this week.
Oh, by Jove. Yeah, have a lovely time and see you next time.
Bye. Bye.